Welcome to the NLT Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to dive into some of the your first-round wide receivers this year who didn't hit. So we got three of them. We've got Devonta Smith, got Kadarius Toney, got Rashad Bateman. We can start with Devonta Smith. It's an okay start. But I guess I have some concerns. So the okay start aspect, yards per route run, 1.77. That puts you on the arc of like 50%+ chance to hit. Like that's the kind of arc you're looking at there. So I would say that's a very good, anything above like 1.5, I think for a rookie is really good. Below 1.5 is a place that I'm concerned, right? So that's really the break-even point, right? If I were to sort of pick a point, and I look at it a couple different ways in the book, but that's, I think, an easy rule of thumb is 1.5 yards per route run. So 1.77 yards per route run clears that 85th percentile career number. So that's, again, that's pretty good. Targets per route run, that's 19.5%, 74th percentile. So again, that's above, and I just include everyone in that. So, there, as we sort of go along in the offseason, I'll probably tease out that number a little bit more. That's a place where I think there's probably some value that we'll look for more statistically. But for now, 74th percentile, I mean, that's good. I wouldn't say great. And then you look deep A dot, right? At almost 15 yards, he's at 14.9 A dot. 11.7% of his routes came from the slot. So again, he played predominantly on the outside. 45th in terms of expected points per game, just over 11, just under 11 in actual points per game. So I would say good, not necessarily a great start. What gives me the pause? Well, there's a couple of things that I have pause with. Number one, and this can be fluky, so I'm going to sort of cop to that right at the start, that these things can be a little bit, I guess the easiest way to say it is it can vary from year to year. A good example is Cincinnati, big time passing volume last year. Cincinnati, not so much of a passing volume this year. So as I sort of look for that, I think we have to keep that in mind. However, when you look at some of their stuff in terms of passing, 27th in terms of dropbacks per game, 21st in terms of plays, so when you look at it, their designed pass rate is 53.6%. That's 27th in the league. So you're playing a below average number of plays and you're running a below average number of percentage of those plays as passes. So that gives me some pause there in terms of all of that. They do run a healthy number of play action, for example, so that should be a spot where maybe he can get a little bit of bump. Jalen Hurts, pretty good at it too. They were basically top five in percentile play action, and he was third in terms of biggest jump from non-play action to play action. So there's some optimism there, but all of that is to say, I mean, this is ultimately a volume position. This is ultimately, it has to be a volume position. 110 targets in 18 games. I mean, that's, for a rookie, that's really good. I wonder, right, 976 receiving yards, 68 receptions, and 5 touchdowns. Those are good numbers. I gives me some pause though in terms of just total volume wise, where he's gonna go from here, right? Does that number, you get a 110 for him? Where does that go up from, right? Where does that go up to? Where does that source of volume get? Do they, they went from being pass heavy to run heavy. They didn't go the other way. So where we would expect that to potentially stay. If there's a change in quarterback, maybe that gives you a different arc on these things. But, as I sort of look through this, that's the thing that I think gives me the most pause is I just don't know how he gets to a super high-end volume perspective, or even that conducive of a volume perspective. And if that's going to be the case, I think that there is some value questions there for Devonta Smith in terms of how much he makes a difference. So that would be my, you know, that would be my cause for concern with him. Again, I think it's a, if you just look at an efficiency thing, it's, he's checked the box of being good. He's 18th in terms of wide receivers over at Keep Trade Cut. I just think that's too expensive. You know, you can go later at for Keenan Allen, for example. You go later for Mike Evans. You know, Marquise Brown is a player that, right, if you still want to stay, quote, young at the position, I'd rather have Marquise Brown than spend multiple rounds higher for Devonta Smith, for example. Marquise Brown's still going behind Rashad Bateman, which is clinical. We'll talk about that in a second. You know, so, and you look, there's a pretty big gap between Devonta Smith and Kadarius Toney, another one. You know, if you want to go some of the vet guys, you know, Tyler Lockett, Cooks, several spots, you know, a dozen or so spots the position behind Devonta Smith. So I think there's a lot of ways to sort of move off of him. You know, if he costs wide receiver 30, I'd be more interested. At wide receiver 18, I struggle to sort of get there. So that would just sort of be my angle. You know, Pittman is behind him and not much younger. We saw more out of Pittman, for example. That is what my cause for concern is there with Devonta Smith. 45th in terms of expected points. Like that, you need a lot to go improve from there to really get into a difference-making perspective. All right, I think my crush, if you will, my rookie crush is Kadarius Toney. There's a lot of problems with Kadarius Toney. Some off-field stuff. It doesn't seem like he's the most, how should we say this, wedded to the preparation of football. He didn't appear to love the idea of practicing, for example. That said, with all that went wrong, 2.14 yards per route run, that's 95th percentile. That's really, really darn good. When you look at the other stat too, that targets per route run, he was targeted on more than 27% of his routes run. That's a top five percentile outcome. So when you look at this again, and I think cost, I think let's temper our expectations, right? Let's temper, bridled enthusiasm, as Chad Parsons likes to say, you know, really rein it in. But I mean, if you look and you sort of crank your neck, bend it and squint, that looks a lot like the early season or the early career stuff for Deebo Samuel. And again, it's small sample and you have a lot of problems. He's no longer on scholarship is one, right? New front office, new coaching staff. Again, and you can say, hey, the coaching staff sucked, Jordan. Like, this is an upgrade. Probably. But that does not necessarily mean it won't impact the potential role or viewing of Kadarius Toney. That said, you know, if you sort of just squint, I think he's probably the best, at least the most efficient wide receiver out of that receiving core. That would sort of be my pitch for him. Now, you can't get over skis expensive on him. You know, I wouldn't be spending top probably 30 value, but I'll just go in here for a second and just look at some of these things. He's at 35, wide receiver 35 on Keep Trade Cut. Cortland Sutton's ahead of him. Like, we kind of know what Cortland Sutton is, right? And I think that people are probably holding out for like a Rodgers landing spot. I mean, maybe, but I mean, Kadarius Toney, we've seen him be a smash. Gabe Davis is one that's in front of him that's interesting. I mean, Hunter Renfro, ahead of him as well. There's a blend of guys in here that are, that have shown basically more, I guess, success, right? That have shown to be a little bit more sustained, proof of concept, if you will. But The bet you want to take is the super high efficiency guy, even in a small sample. Now, I usually use the cutoff of 200 routes to sort of sample that. And if you look in the book, like, you'll see that the guys that have a really high rookie yards per route run that sort of clear that 200, like, they could really have good odds of being difference makers going forward. I like that bet from there. I like the bet in a way that I think Kadarius Toney could be an impact player in a way that Sutton probably isn't, right? That, I don't know if Renfro gets back there, for example. So those would sort of be the things that I would say. You know, he's ahead of Gallup, which makes sense to me. There's a ton of blending in this range. You could pitch me on, like, all right, who makes more sense, Toney or Mike Williams? Like, we kind of know what Mike Williams is at this point in his career. That said, Kadarius Toney, like, if you squint, like, it's really darn good. And if he ever sort of got it together, could be pretty darn interesting. And so that's sort of that early career, again, they're different players, but that early career Deebo Samuel, like, squint, look really hard at it, and that's what it kind of looks like. That's it for Toney. So I'm officially interested. Again, I would be I think there's guys behind him. Again, it's who makes a huge difference? Is it Toney or is it Cooks? Well, it's probably Cooks. Or it's probably, like, if someone's going to make a huge, huge impact, it's probably Toney. Who's the more likely to make an impact? It's probably Cooks. So you have to debate sort of what you're aiming for, what you're shooting for there. But again, with the multiplicity at the position, if you sort of look at it, like, Cooks and Lockett are similar types of outcomes would sort of be my hunch there. You look a little bit earlier, Amari Cooper, sort of similar types of, you know, range of projections. Allen Robinson's coming later. I think that's natural. But Juju is sort of in that same range too. And you could say, all right, like, if you squint, like, those guys kind of perform in a relative, you know, it's wide receiver 12 through 30, somewhere in there is, like, a reasonable expectation for them. You could say, all right, there's a lot of options in there that look similar. We can take one while also taking a high-end, high-variance shot on a guy like Kadarius Toney, right? That would sort of be my thought that I would do. And if I was going to sort of, you know, if that tier was going to be like the last of like five wide receivers, for example, that would be something that I would, you know, having Toney paired with someone around him and sort of cost, I think that makes a lot of sense of trying to catch some upside there. So that would sort of be my pitch for Toney. The last one is Bateman, and Bateman gives me some concern. Again, the yards per route run stuff, it does signal early, and you don't need to wait around a ton. And I'm one that the more I'm doing this, I think first-round wide receivers, people love to say, oh, you know, long-term bets. One of the, I think, hidden things that we have learned maybe in the last, like, year or so, a couple years maybe, if you're sort of looking back at past AODs, even if they don't hit, they tend to not fall through the floor. And so you could say, all right, like, there's other places to go get valuation, right? There's other places to go get, wide receivers. But if you were to come to me and say, or go get impact rookies, but if you're coming to me and say, hey, you know, what's your pitch there for first-round wide receivers? You know, it's just this class. Well, you know, I think they lag a little bit in hit rate, but they probably have less variance. There's a forgiveness in the marketplace for them early, as long as they don't, like, vomit on themselves. And I would say that with Bateman, right? Like, Bateman's still going ahead of Marquise Brown, which to me is crazy, considering what we know Marquise Brown is. Bateman, 1.26 yards per route run, 54th percentile for his career. When you sort of adjust that down to what it signals for rookies, that's not good. That's on the wrong side of this. Again, we talked about 1.5 yards per route run. That's not on the right side of this. So I am selling Bateman if at the cost that I bought him at. He is an instant sell. 15.9% of his routes he was targeted on. That's a really low number. Expected wide receiver 57 in points per game at 9.3, and then he produced 8.6 points per game. Again, he ran a lot of routes. He ran 409 routes. So, you know, that's a big, that's a pretty good sample. And when you look at it and say, all right, like this probably signals, typically what this profile signals is not really trending towards a hit, and really not trending towards an elite profile. That's typically what a start like this numerically looks like. So again, I like the profile generally coming out of college. I question some of the volume stuff coming into the NFL. He got plenty of opportunity this year and didn't really do much. And didn't really do much without, you know, I think if he came in and was like, hey, he's at 22-23% of his, of his routes he's being targeted on, we're thinking about this much differently. But that low target share, again, that's how much you're getting open. How much are you drawing attention to yourself? And that's a really low number that gives me some pause. So one of the beauties, though, even with that low number, is the trade pivots that you can make. You know, again, the AOD trade database, we don't have the specifics on the rookie number yet for the picks, but a first and a third, again, that's exiting at the price you paid last year. So that's I don't even know where that pick is, and that's exiting at the price you paid. Bateman and Elijah Moore for Tyreek Hill. Bateman and Fant for A.J. Brown and Kylan Granson. Again, those are all exiting at least at what you paid. And so I think that those are, I think that is a compelling reason to be interested in a profile like that. And again, I think it's a, if you're sort of applying AOD principles, I look at, and again, you'll see this in the book, the core asset section. I really think about value plays. It's like you want to do that sort of down the dial. It's there. Those are the, you know, the partially contributing assets, right? Or, you know, that's sort of when you look at the hierarchy there, in the core asset chapter. That really is something that comes later on at the position, later on, and the assets. And I sort of view first round wide receivers sort of in that. Say, hey, you know, look, value preservation, and we see this pop up with him. You can pivot right now. You don't even need to wait and see if he's good. You can just pivot. Like he hasn't fallen on his face, and you have options now. And I would take them if I have them. So I would take them. So that's sort of my thought there. Again, I think he's one that the marketplace is highly valuing and feeling pretty good about generally, at least especially coming in as well. So I'm willing to pivot there. I didn't mention, I'll take a peek here. You can get a first, future first for Kadarius Toney as well there. Kadarius Toney and Garoppolo for Zeke, for example. Kadarius Toney, Dawson Knox in a first. Again, we don't know where that is. For Tyreek Hill, Kadarius Toney and Michael Thomas for Cooper Kupp. Kadarius Toney, Zach Moss and a second for Kirk Cousins. All right, so there still is plenty of opportunity there to pivot off of a guy like Kadarius Toney. So those are sort of my thoughts there, and I hope they're helpful. You know, let me know what you think about these guys and about this, about the format of the podcast. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.